It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Remember, bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante, sitting in for Dustin Hawkinsmith today. Sitting with me is Greg Pickle, beat writer for Penn Live on the Penn State football beat. He is your expert on everything Penn State and recruiting. You are listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. You can get all of our podcasts, all of our information at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, or better yet, download our free app, Keystone Sports. All right, Greg, last week, James Franklin and several of his new assistants had a press conference. You were there. What were your general takeaways?
Yeah, I was really interested to get the chance to chat with Taylor Stubblefield and Phil Troutwine, just because both of those guys, you know, we knew a little bit more about Kirk Shiraka because he was brought on before the Cotton Bowl. We didn't get to talk to him, but we heard James Franklin, heard some of the players talk about him. So it's not that I didn't want to listen to him, but number one, Bob was talking to him, and it didn't make sense for us two to be at the same place at the same time. But then secondly, I think that, you know, the other two just have interesting stories. And from an overall perspective, we'll get into that, but I thought Franklin hit on the right message on a number of topics, and it seems like they're in a pretty darn good place here as we get February rolling in the Stead period, and it's now all about getting the getting the offense installed the way Kirk Shiraka wants it, because if the coaches don't know it well enough to teach it in spring practice, that's going to set everything off schedule.
Well, in fact, those were the quotes that kind of caught my eye. Let's start with that. James Franklin, and I highlighted a couple of his quotes. And in talking with about Shiraka and the offense, these were his words. This is how they're going to look at it, as if this is how we did it at Penn State and this is how we did it at Minnesota. And not necessarily just merging, but also saying what's in Penn State's best interest moving forward. So I don't feel like we need to go hire someone, blow it all up, and start all over. And this is consistent with some other quotes that Franklin has had about the offense, that we're not going to start over, that Shiraka, he used the word humility a couple different times.
Yeah.
That Shiraka, I'm referring to, is willing to merge into what Penn State is already doing.
Right. And that's fine and well, but I mean, I was a little bit, that quote was a little bit bizarre to me, because if you're not bringing him in here to bring most of what, I think it's fair to say that what Penn State has been working. And I think that they probably don't get enough credit for what they've been able to do so far in the last couple of years since Joe Moore had left. But at the same time, you know, you don't go and get Kirk Shiraka unless you really think there's some key parts of his offense that can really mesh with what you're already doing. So I was a little bit surprised by that, just because I thought that, you know, it seemed a tad bit overbearing, but maybe I read that situation wrong. At any rate, yeah, he made it clear that they are going to keep so the offense won't look completely different. You know, I think some people thought that, you know, Kirk Shiraka might bring in some more heavy packages and maybe go under center and stuff like that, and that doesn't appear to be the case. So, I do still think that he'll have better ideas for how they can be more consistent in the short yardage game, second and four, third and two, fourth and one when it comes to that, and in the red zone. So he comes off as just a really relatable, low-key kind of guy. You know, you get the sense that he's not afraid of the job, but he also doesn't think that, that he has to come in and sort of sell everything that they've done. I think he thinks the results speak for themselves, and it was enjoyable to get to talk to him for a little bit.
Well, he has the advantage, and I think both with the Penn State coaching staff and with the fan base, with what his offense at Minnesota did to Penn State, where it seemed like he outcoached the Penn State team, he out-schemed them, he used his talent in such a way to its best advantage.
Right.
And the other quote and part of this that fascinated me was Franklin said something to the effect that Shiraka was excited because he's never really had the running quarterback aspect.
Yeah.
And he obviously will have that here at Penn State with Sean Clifford, which leads to something else that and you hear the reference from Penn State fans, and with apologies to one of our listeners who sent this question in. Gee, Kurt Schrocken never used his tight ends at Minnesota. How's he going to use the tight end here? As if because he didn't throw to his tight ends, probably because he did not have that kind of talent.
Right.
The same way he didn't run his quarterback very often because he didn't have a quarterback with those skills.
Correct.
It's not like he can't do it.
Right. And so, yeah, you know, again, the other thing too is that if you are, you know, if you are going to bring a guy in, he better be able to adapt to what you have on campus, because otherwise it's never going to work. And I don't want to make it too simplistic, but that's basically what happened with David Corley, albeit maybe in a lesser, obviously not as high profile of a job. But, you know, if you can't relate to the talent and improve the talent and take what you've done in the past and mold it to what's already going on there, you're probably not going to be successful. And I think there's probably a little bit of a reasoning in that for why Matt Limegrover's contract wasn't renewed. So, yeah, you bring in Kirk Soraka, you expect him to take control of some parts of the offense and blend with other things that are already there, and you put those two things together, and obviously the hope will be that they can be a little bit more consistent in 2020.
All right, let's move on to a couple of the new assistants that you said you had some interaction with. Which, where do you want to start? Stubblefield?
Yeah, we'll start with him. Yeah, really had the chance to catch up with him for a little while and get the sense that, you know, this is a guy that, even though there were probably some hesitations from people about what he would be able to bring to this program, I do think that he will be a guy who can coach and develop and can sell a good story on the recruiting trail. That's a theme that James Franklin's talked about a lot, selling yourself and having a good story to tell. He talked about it with Phil Troutwine, talked about it with Taylor Stubblefield. Obviously, with Stubblefield, you know, this is a guy who really is in a place where he did everything you could have ever wanted at the player level in college, but he's never really called on anywhere and really had a long period of development at the coaching ranks. So now's a chance to do that. He talked about knowing James Franklin from when he met him back in 2008 and how that played a big impact on his life as a coach. And now he gets to be alongside him, and I guess the key here will be don't disappoint dad in a way, you know, because, you know, there's a lot of expectation here. James Franklin was very clear about the fact. I've never seen him call out the receivers the way that he did, a position group, the way he did the receivers during his news conference, but it's clear he expects that group to be better, and he brought in a guy that he thinks can do it, and he's going to have to get it done.
Now, I know that we often question James Franklin at these press conferences. He's trying to deliver his message. But I also think there are times where he is more candid than what we expect. There was an example of it where, let's face it, the fan base is not stupid. They know the shortcomings at wide receiver. And I think James Franklin is smart enough to know, let me address it. Let me say something about it.
Right.
And where I'm leading to with that is I was also impressed with James Franklin's candor in talking about Stubblefield, that in addressing the fact that Stubblefield has gone from job to job to job and only staying 1 year at a program, that it's a case where Stubblefield himself needs some stability.
Right.
So Stubblefield's aware that his resume looks like that.
Right. And I'm sure that was a part of the conversation that James Franklin had with him, which was more or less, you know, look, he probably felt like, again, that it was time that they brought somebody in who could not, you know, because let's be honest. I mean, Jarrett Parker was a great high school player, and he was okay. I mean, he was not terrible in college, but he certainly didn't have the resume that Taylor Stubblefield comes in with. But Jarrett Parker had a lot of other things going for him, too. So, you know, I think it's just they realized that they were at a point where whatever they were doing with that position group was not working, at least not enough. And they thought, okay, let's go get a guy who can not just show that he was able to do it, but also has had some success teaching what he was able to do and instilling that in his players. And, you know, the message that I sort of picked up on from Stubblefield was that he knows that, you know, this job comes with a lot of responsibility for it, and then he's at a point in his career, Jim, where he's ready for that. So we'll see if it works out, but that's where I think they're at with him right now.
Let's move on. You also got a chance to talk with Coach Troutwine.
Yes.
And what are your takeaways from that portion of the conversation?
Yeah, and he's an extremely intelligent guy. You pick up on that right away. I mean, he knows what he's talking about. He knows his stuff, and he knows that you know, he knows that this is a veteran group that he's inheriting here that has been, you know, the one thing he was very direct about was that this is a, you know, a team that's good. A bunch of guys that have done a lot of inside zone, and now they're going to have to teach them some outside zone blocking concepts because that's what Kirk Sciarrocca likes to do sometimes. So he seemed just a little bit...
For the layperson, inside zone, outside zone, yeah, what does that mean?
Right. I mean, I can basically explain it the way he explained it, which is more or less, you know, we're going to either work between the tackles or we're not. But, you know, if we're going to bring outside zone concepts into this, we better have athletic guards who are able to get outside and block some people. So, I mean, you're essentially...
So that means you're looking at running plays, running outside the tackles.
More horizontal than vertical, yes. And I think that... That's something that Penn State tried at times in 2018 and 2019 and then just sort of never went back to it. That was kind of the frustration in general with Ricky Ronnie's offense, was that they'd find something that worked and then they'd either sink their teeth into it and run it 15 times in a row, or they would never run it again after it worked the first time. So, but with Troutwine, he's another one. You know, again, he was a two-time BCS winner at Florida. He has a track record of developing very good offensive linemen at Boston College, and he seems to have a more direct coaching style. Matt Limegrover was a little bit more late. He's going to Michigan, by the way, as a senior analyst. But he had a little bit more of a laid-back personality, and I think that may have been to his detriment at times, where you just get the sense that Troutwine doesn't mind getting into some guys if it feels like that the motivational fire is lacking, for lack of a better way to put it. So I expect he will be very direct with what he's teaching, and he's all about violence and explosion off the ball and being able to run and also punch the other team in the mouth. And I think that's a mindset that Penn State's offensive line's been lacking.
You gave me a little story comparing Limegrover and Troutwine before we went on the air.
Right.
Could you share that real quick?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I think that the biggest thing is when Matt Limegrover talked last offseason about the fact that they had some NFL coaches come in, and he learned that, you know, he learned a lot about hand fighting and how leverage is such a big part of the game anymore, the way it's played in 2019 and 2020. And I don't know if he ever was really able to teach that the way it needed to be taught, but he obviously realized that that was a part of his coaching style that needed work. Whether it got enough work or not is a question mark. I think you could probably say it didn't. And then Phil Troutwine comes in and he talks about all that stuff and can show you how it's worked out in the past for his players. So probably a direct correlation there.
So he leads with that as opposed to having someone from the outside come in and share that.
Correct.
All right, that's it for quarter number two. Stick around. We're going to look at some questions for the 2020 Penn State squad.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Life gets complicated. And it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
Looking for a great gift for the blue and white fan in your life? Check out 409tailgateclub.com for some great ideas. You can get the tailgate box that includes all their rubs and sauces. Then there's the Bloody Mary gift box, complete with mix, bacon salt, and even pepperoni straws. Go to 409tailgateclub.com and check out their online store. Don't forget to use code KSN on checkout for a discount. That's 409tailgateclub.com and use code KSN.